الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله وصفيه وخليله أرسله الله للناس نذيرا وبشيرا من يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد ومن يعصهما فقد ضل ضلالا بعيدا أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Brothers and sisters, committed Muslims, I'd like to get started today by thanking you and by thanking IPCI for arranging this talk in front of you today. And I'd like to express my gratitude to all of you for giving us an opportunity to speak with you about some of our ideas and about some of the things that we are doing across the ocean. There is much talk in the world about the Islamic Ummah. At the same time, this word Ummah is one of the most misunderstood of the Arabic terms which are part of Allah's revealed word and the guidance of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oftentimes when the word Ummah is referenced, it is translated in the English language as nation, or perhaps in other translations it is rendered as a simple group of people, perhaps a very large group of people. Other people often interpret the word Ummah as referring to a large group of Muslims. However, the term is rarely used to reference a group whose coordinated activities satisfy the achievement of a singular objective. If we were to begin to understand the meaning of the word Ummah in a generic sense, and then use that understanding to begin to understand and to comprehend the meaning of the word in its shar'i sense, let us begin with some of the other ayat in the Quran and some of the other words in the Quran which are associated with this term Ummah. The word for mother, and the word imam for leader in the Arabic language derive from the same root as the word Ummah. And when we think of the word mother or thoughts like origin, essence, beginnings, and birth come to mind. Indeed, Allah Ta'ala refers to Makkah as Umm al-Qura, the foundational city, the progenitor city of all cities. And he refers to Surat al-Fatiha as Umm al-Qur'an, the foundational surah, or the beginning surah, or the introduction to Allah's revealed word. And when we think of the word imam, we think about direction setting, about being in the lead, about showing people the way, about guiding those who do not know the way. And so when the word ummah comes to mind, it ought to begin to have some of these other meanings going through our minds. Let us refer to an ayah from Allah's book in reference to Musa alayhi salam when he went to Madian. وَلَمَّا وَرَدَ مَاءَ مَدْيَنْ وَجَدَ عَلَيْهِ أُمَّةً مِنَ النَّاسِ يَسْقُونَ. And when he reached the wells of Madian, he saw there an ummah of people drawing water. And so here the word ummah is used in a generic sense. A group of people are drawing water. And perhaps one person drawing water on his own could not accomplish that task on his own. And so it requires the coordinated effort of a group of people to accomplish the task of drawing water from a well. And so we might interpret the meaning of the word ummah as many hands, singular objective. Many people, one purpose. And so when we think of the Islamic Ummah, we ought to think of a group of people, regardless of their numbers, whose coordinated activities are trying to satisfy the achievement of a singular objective. And so let us take this to the socio-political context in which the word ummah, as far as the Islamic ummah is concerned, was born. When we are talking about an ummah in society, we are talking about a group which forms the core identity of that society. We are talking about a group that formulates the social policy of that society. We are talking about a group which provides the foundations for the institutions of that society. We are talking about a group that subsumes its plans, its strategies, its actions, its desires, its motivations to the achievement of a singular objective in that society. And that is what we ought to understand by the meaning of the word ummah. But to drive the point home, let us take some examples in our real world. Let us take some examples of real ummas in the world. For certainly most of us, when we use this term ummah, we use it in a way that only talks about a group of Muslims. And perhaps we only talk about it in a way that refers to a group of Muslims that are not together on a coordinated set of activities. We only talk about it to reflect a large number of people who have perhaps said, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, but whose coordinated activities, in a complementary sense, do not exist. So let us take a look at an example or a certain set of examples of ummas which give validation to the Quranic use of the term. the finest example of an ummah in the world that we live in is a multinational corporation. Now, I know that this statement might shake the nostalgic orientations or understandings that you might have for the word ummah. But that is the fact, that a multinational corporation in the world today represents the best example of an ummah. Let us take an example. Consider Microsoft Corporation. All of us are familiar with Microsoft. It is a computer company, a technology company. And the full force of its activities are dedicated to making sure that every desktop in the world is using the Microsoft operating system. And the full force of the executive activities of the principals of this corporation are dedicated to making sure that this mission is satisfied in the world. That whether you have a software developer, a salesperson, a mailroom worker, an employee, an executive, a person shipping software from one continent to another, the packaging people, the printers, all of them together are helping to satisfy the core objective of the corporation to make sure that that operating system is on every desktop in the world. And to a large extent, brothers and sisters, this corporation has been successful in achieving that objective. And this is not an insignificant feat. But it reflects the coordinated activities of hundreds of thousands of people across language barriers, across cultural barriers, across problem-solving barriers, that no matter where they are in the world, all of them are singularly dedicated to helping Microsoft achieve a singular objective of making sure that their operating system is the one which is used on every desktop in the world. And these are the actions of an ummah. Many people working in a coordinated fashion to achieve a singular objective. Let us take a look at another example. The largest and most effective ummah in the world is the United States government. Again, this might come as a shock to all of us who are used to using this word within the context of Islam. But we are taking a broader look at this word within the context of Allah's revealed words. The largest and the most effective ummah in the world is the United States government. And this government has partners. The ex-European colonial powers are partners with the US government. The media monopoly in the world is a partner of the US government. Multinational corporations are partners of the US government. And all of those citizens in the world which sympathize with US material interests are partners of the US government. And all of them together help the United States satisfy its core objective of global dominance, which satisfies its national interest. And so now you have an ummah of millions upon millions of people that help the United States government become globally dominant in the world. And again, they communicate this idea broadly to all people of the world. When they export their culture, when they export goods from their corporations, when they import resources from all over the world, to the extent that 60% of the world's energy resources are used by 5% of its people in the United States. That means that all of those people who are giving up their resources so that an American can have two sports utility vehicles, or he can have a house with a picket fence, all of them, whether they only have one meal to eat in 3 days, all of them are helping the United States satisfy a core objective of global dominance in the world. Though they may not know it, they are part of the U.S. federal ummah. And there are many Muslims who are deceived. There are many Muslims who think that they are not involved as a part of this ummah. There are many Muslims who yearn for this type of lifestyle, and they do not understand that one of the core objectives of the United States government in achieving the goal of global dominance is to abort any attempt at Islamic self-determination in the world. Give them credit, brothers and sisters. They know who their enemy is. They know that Islamic self-determination and Islamic state building cannot exist with the Western imperialist capitalist project. And to this end, in the last 6 years, 1.2 million Iraqis have given up their lives. In the last 25 years, 1 million Afghanis have given up their lives. Chechnya has been dismembered. Somalia has been destroyed. Pakistan is in the process of being dismembered. 30 years of sanctions have been put upon the Islamic Republic in Iran. And on and on and on. And add to that the humiliation of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Danish cartoons. And the appellation which is applied to the Muslims as a terror capital of the world. All of this, brothers and sisters, is the coordinated activity of an ummah, not a bunch of cowboys. Millions of people on this earth make this happen. And it could not happen if it was not many, many people working together, coordinating their activities, complementing one with another to achieve a singular objective of global dominance. Allah Ta'ala says, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةٌ وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدًا. Now let us get back to the responsibilities of the Islamic Ummah. What unified objective? If I was to ask all of you, what unified objective are the Muslims all over the world pursuing such that their activities are coordinated to the achievement of this objective? If I was to go to every one of you, you would have a different answer. And so that means that we are not functioning as an ummah. And we might ask ourselves why. This particular ayah, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةٌ وَسَطًا. We have created you, we have rendered you into an accessible central ummah, so that you might be a witness upon mankind, and so that your Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam could be a witness upon you. So there is a connection between the centrality of the Prophet to the ummah and the centrality of this ummah to humanity. as much as your Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is central to your core identity, then this ummah is central to the core identity of humanity. And as long as your Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is marginal with regard to your core identity, then this ummah is marginal with regard to the core identity of humanity. And so ask yourselves in a barometer that when we are on the margins of history and society and the world, is Muhammad a margin in our daily thinking? Alayhi salatu wassalam. When we talk about an Islamic ummah, we are talking about an ummah that sets the pace for humanity. That when this ummah talks, the rest of humanity ought to listen. But we are talking, and who in the power culture in the world is listening? That means that this ummah is not the central feature of humanity. That humanity is drifting because the central ummah of humanity is drifting. And when we drift away from Muhammad, humanity drifts away from its central purpose of being and satisfying Allah Jalla Sha'nu. And so what should our core objective be? What can we bind on such that our coordinated activities lead to a goal that we can see the achievement of? For an ummah divorced of a central objective cannot be qualified as an ummah. And so let us go to a statement of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قل والله لتأمرن بالمعروف ولتنهون عن المنكر ولتأخذن على يد الظالم ولتأطرنه على الحق أطرا ولتقصرنه على الحق قصرا أو ليضربن الله بقلوب بعضكم على بعض ثم ليلعننكم كما لعنهم. By Allah, and this is Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talking, that you will most surely authorize what is universally understood to be right. And you will most surely deconstruct what is universally understood to be wrong. And you will take the hand of the oppressor, and you will frame his activities in al-haq, and you will confine his activities in al-haq. Otherwise, if you do not do that, then Allah will take your hearts and He will cause them to collide and clash against one another. And He will condemn you as He condemned them. And the them in this case is Bani Israel. And so here we have a direction. And it is a direction that we ought to understand, that when you go out to deconstruct what is wrong and to assimilate what is right, that you are going to have obstacles in your way, and you're going to have forces which confront you, which want to prevent you from doing that task. And so that is why al-amr bil ma'roof and al-nahi an al-munkar is coupled with disengaging a corrupt power culture from its power. And that is the direction that was given to this ummah. This is an open ummah to the east and to the west. Islam is for everyone. It is for Muslim and for non-Muslim alike. We can enter into agreements with the non-Muslims. But the peace and security that comes from an Islamic ambiance in the world is something that all Muslims and non-Muslims can take advantage of. This is an open ummah. It admits everyone into the ummah to take advantage of the peace and security that this deen offers and that Allah Ta'ala through the agency of His Messenger offered to humanity. Being part of the Islamic Ummah is a barometer for those who think that they are part of the Ummah. And if they look at the world around them and the number of hungry people is not decreasing, then this Ummah is not satisfying the task of being the central Ummah of humanity. If the number of dispossessed people in the world are having to run across borders because of the incessant wars that are taking place in the world, then this is not the central ummah of humanity. If there is environmental degradation from Japan to China to the United States to Argentina, then this is not the central ummah of humanity. This ummah sets the course. This ummah directs the activities of humanity, and it sets the standard by which the rest of the people of the world are judged. That is the meaning of the Islamic ummah. And it is with this understanding that we ought to engage with the corrupt power cultures of the world. We are put on this earth such that we coordinate our activities to disengage the tawaghit in this world from their actions and from the outcome of the actions which spread injustice all over humanity. We have a task on this earth, but individuals cannot accomplish this task. It requires the coordinated activity of hundreds of thousands and millions upon millions of Muslims to disengage this worldwide tawaghit from an ambiance of injustice that it has spread in the entire world. And to do this, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam has to be the fountainhead from which we obtain our guidance. And if he is not that fountainhead, then we can constrain ourselves to be upon the periphery of humanity, having no impact on the direction in which that humanity goes, and suffering all the ills that the rest of that humanity suffers.
أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه يغفر لكم فاسترشدوه يرشدكم. Brothers and sisters, once again I'd like to thank all of you for giving us the opportunity to come and speak with you today. I'd like to extend that gratitude to our hosts at IPCI for arranging these various venues all over South Africa. And we hope that inshallah in the future we have many more opportunities to engage with each other and to exchange ideas and to figure out what we Muslims collectively have to do to set the world straight and to want to be part of those who lead in the area of setting the world straight. If we say that we are the best ummah, كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله. If we say that we are the best ummah, then those who say they are the best that they are required to lead. And we should lead and we ought to lead, because no one else in the world has the Quran. No one else has the example of his final messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For if his name is besmirched in any way, if he is humiliated in any way, if his image is diminished in any way, then there is no justice in the world. For the essence of justice in the world is the example of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so we protect and we hold on to this example. But protecting and holding on to that example has to go much further than crying when his name is mentioned. It has to go into the field of battle. It has to go into the field of ideas. And it has to go into the field of social policy. And I hope that with this talk, we are all encouraged to graduate out of our masjid cocoons and look at the world around us and apply the guidance of Allah and the example of His Messenger to what exists in our real world. Thank you again, brothers and sisters. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. Once again, on behalf of the respected Khatib, the respected Muazzin, and of course the members of the Trust, I want to extend a very, very warm welcome to one and all of you to this auspicious day of Jummah, and we wish you Jummah Mubarak as well. To our guest speaker that hails from Washington, D.C., Brother Afiq Khan. Is it Afiq Khan? MashaAllah. Brother Afiq Khan, we wish you a very warm welcome as well. And I know you are the guest of the IPCI, but at the same time, on behalf of the Musallis and of course the Trust Board here, we extend a very warm welcome to you. We say shukran jazeeran for your informative discourse. And at the same time, we wish you well in our country. May you take very good memories out of this country as well. And may your mission be a very successful one, inshallah, Aziz.